Hello, dear friend. This is Whitney Doe inviting you to listen to Methodist Hour. We will hear the music of contemporary praise and a timely message from the Bible by John Wolfe. Stay with us and enjoy the next 14 minutes, won't you? Methodist Hour encourages evangelical Christianity as we reach around the world. We serve an awesome God. Join with us in this praise song.
Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above.
Today's message is entitled, A Little Will Do. Here is Methodist Hour speaker, the Reverend John Wolfe.
Thank you so much, Brother Witt. The gospel lesson is Matthew chapter 13, verses 31 through 33. Jesus put another parable before them. He said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that birds of the air can come and make their nests in its branches." Then Jesus told them another parable. He said, "The kingdom of heaven is like yeast, yeast that a woman took and mixed with the 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened." Amen. You know, it seemed like just a few minutes, but when I looked at the clock, I'd been sitting staring out the window for about 45 minutes. I mean, I was sitting there thinking, I was captivated with the whole idea of how impossible this thing was. Think about it. 13 men sitting there on a hillside overlooking the seas, and Jesus was talking to his disciples. Now, they were talking about changing the world for God. They talked about justice, integrity, about love, forgiveness, about salvation, about eternal life. And now, I know these are good things to think about. They make great sermons, and they're fine subject matter for books. But this tiny band of men were not just talking about it, they were actually planning to do something about it. Their leader, Jesus, for starters, was broke. He was penniless, no stocks, bonds, holdings, real estate, anything, nothing that we knew about. He did have a reasonably good education. He was homeschooled probably, and with his family and from his church, but he certainly had no PhD. He didn't even have a permanent home at that point. Now, his men were maybe a little better off. Some of them had a small interest in a fishing business, a family fishing business. One of them was a former tax collector, and he may have had a few dollars tucked away somewhere, but we don't even know that for sure. Now, here they are about to take on the whole known world. It made me think of a story of Bobby Young. Bobby Young lived about a mile from our house. He lived near the railroad track, not close, but 100 yards from it, and Bobby and my brother Fred were 4 years older than me. Now, that doesn't seem like much, but when you're 8 and they're 12, well, it's a long way. It's a big difference. On summer nights, a dozen or so boys would meet down behind Bobby Young's house somewhere between the railroad tracks and the house, and they'd build a campfire, and they'd roast potatoes on long sticks over a smoking fire. On one occasion, I was allowed to come and sit at the campfire with the big boys, the 12-year-olds. Well, many a large tale was told staring into that campfire. Some stories were told about what they were going to do when they grew up. I remember thinking, man, I can't wait until I'm 12 so I can decide what I'm going to do when I grow up. Well, Bobby became a journeyman sheet metal mechanic. My brother Fred's a builder. Paul is an architect, and George is a noted surgeon. Paul Atzel took over his family business, and Timmy Payne is a carpenter. I don't remember everybody else who was there, but I do recall thinking that those stories were so big and so distant. You know, getting from 8 years old to 12 years old, well, it took about 100 years, it seemed like it. When I think about Jesus sitting on that hillside by the sea talking to those disciples about changing the world, it must have absolutely boggled their minds. Now, I know they loved Jesus and they trusted him, but his ideas were way beyond their reality. They understood fishing and not catching anything at times. They knew about picking grapes and harvesting wheat and taxes, but to even imagine bringing salvation to the world, good friends, that was not within their comprehension. In my mind, I can see Jesus picking up a very tiny seed of mustard, a mustard seed plant. He would say to them, "Boy, see this little seed? Can you believe that it will grow into a plant that sometimes grows to be 12 feet tall? I mean, it becomes a plant thousands and thousands of times larger than the seed itself. Doesn't that seem impossible?" Well, good friends, the kingdom of God is like that. What seems like nothing to you can turn into something so great that it will affect the whole world. Now, I like that sound of it. You know, but to grip it and hold it in my mind and to let it move in me, that's so difficult. It made me think of a young boy who was born November the 10th, 1483. He was born in a little peasant family in Eisleben, Germany. By age 22, he had completed his master's degree and was ready to begin law school. Ironically, one day while he was walking in the rain, a bolt of lightning hit so close to him that he thought he was going to die. He became so conscious of his own mortality that on July the 17th, 1505, he entered into an Augustinian cloister in Erfurt, Germany, to study to be a monk. He struggled to find the source of his own salvation. And you and I know this monk because on October 31st, 1517, out of protest of some of the things and injustices he saw in the church, he went to a small chapel at Wittenberg, Germany, and nailed his 95 theses on that chapel door. Now, on that day, an obscure monk from a peasant family, without realizing it, began a movement that forever changed the course of human history. You see, Martin Luther did not expect anything like the Protestant Reformation to happen. All he wanted to do was to debate the issues outlined in his protests. Isn't that amazing, the small thing? A 9-year-old boy who was nearly burned to death in his bed in the parsonage where his father was the pastor went to college and to seminary. Only in his 20s he took issue with the way the church was dealing with the horrible conditions in his own home country. He believed that everyone had the right to hear the gospel and to respond to it. He didn't think that children ought to be working in mines. But anyway, John Wesley had no idea that he would start a movement called Methodism that would change the history of England and the lives of millions of people. And for more than 200 years. Today, would you believe, because of that one young man, there are some 60 million Methodists worldwide? But I remember something closer to home, a young man by the name of Clement. He was 24, and he had just completed his apprenticeship as a machinist in a little company up in North Carolina. The company had about 200 employees. There was a great dispute one day over wages and benefits. It got so terrible that frustration turned to anger, then to hate, and there was talk of destroying the company's equipment and doing some burning of as a way to protest the unfair wage practices. Clement was the youngest machinist. He remembered that when his parents faced difficulties, they met for the family with the family together, and they met for prayer. Clement asked a few of the older men at the shop to meet him the next day for prayer. He's 24 years old. 7 men came that next day in an hour early, and they began to pray for healing and for peace among the employees and the employers. Do you know, within a month, 65 men were coming in at 6 o'clock in the morning to listen for God's peace and guidance. One by one, the issues in the company were settled, and the company began to prosper. Forgiveness for harsh words and wrongdoing seemed to invade this little company like yeast in a loaf of bread. It was just a little thing. "Let's pray," he said. "Let's pray." No fundraising, no legal battles. In fact, it never even made the papers. A tiny, tiny seed planted in prayer has grown like the shade tree that was filled with God's Spirit over this manufacturing company tucked away in the hills of North Carolina. Just a few years ago, a professional football coach, college football coach, struggling with the lack of direction he saw in his men and some issues in his own life, on how to keep their promises to God and their families, stirred in his heart to do something about it. He stepped away from everything. Now, he was not a theologian or a prophet, but but he said he had to do something. Promise Keepers was born. In the next 5 years, millions and millions of men were influenced by this impossible movement. No denomination or church has ever been able to pull that many men together for anything. Of course, you know it's worldwide. I doubt that Bill McCartney ever imagined that the tiny seed of his dream would grow in such enormous proportions. It's affecting the whole world. You see, Jesus was talking to his good friends that day who would change the world with him. I do not think he told them about a mustard seed or the yeast in the loaf or any of those parables to get them to do something, to do some big thinking or get excited about it. But I think I have a hunch that he told them these parables because he knew. He knew that the time would come when they'd get discouraged. He wanted them to remember that even the smallest amount of effort could possibly grow into something huge. You know, a prayer, a kind word, a visit, a loaf of bread, serving a sandwich to one who is hungry, teaching a child to read, sitting by the bed of one who is dying or suffering, encouragement to one who has failed or done some foolish thing. Oh, those very small things, I suppose. They are small. But are they? Amen.
Yes, John, little things often cause tremendous consequences. I suppose the Christian who seeks to serve Christ and desires most of all to be found faithful will live a life of great fruitfulness and power. It's the faithfulness in little things which add up to a successful Christian life. Dear listener, as you make daily choices regarding your relationship to Christ, strive to be found faithful in the little things. And he who is faithful in little will be successful in much. And it's those little foxes which spoil the grapes. John Wolfe, I know you've got another message. Share your word with us now.
Thank you so much. You know, last week while I was in worship, we were singing some songs of praise, and of course I had my mask on, but I noticed two little girls about 4 or 5 years old who were just singing their hearts out. They were standing with their mom and dad who were singing too, but these little girls had their arms up in the air and they were kind of swaying back and forth with the rhythm of the music. Honestly, they looked like two little angels. Then I remembered a devotional that I read from Terry Hershey. He said he reminded us to always look around and look for the holy and the sacred. Those little ones were for me both sacred and holy. I visited my dentist this week to have a filling replaced. While Larry was working on my tooth, I realized that this was really a holy moment. Now, not because I was enjoying filling the tooth, but because I had been going to Larry every 6 months for more than 40 years. We were friends, not just doctor patients. Now, we've never had a meal together or hung out together, but we have run the Peachtree Road Race together. However, we've had a lot of conversations in his office about life, about family, dreams, and hopes, stuff like that. You see, it is in those kinds of conversations where the holy and the sacred can happen. But this week, I'm asking you to keep your eyes and your hearts open to check out the holy places in your life. Sometimes it's just the things that we see, but actually, they're all around us. Now, if you want to check in with us, our website is MethodistHourInternational.com. You can call or email or write all the infos in the website. But I just pray this week that you'll discover some sacred places that will absolutely bless your socks off. Amen.
Let us urge you to attend your neighborhood United Methodist Church or the church of your choice, where you will be offered Christ and meaning and joy for your life. And now until next week, this is your producer and host, Whitney Doe, praying that the good news will always be yours. And may the Lord bless you and keep you.